There it goes. Okay. Okay. So there's been a question going around in Christian circles for a while. And the question is, are carnal Christians really saved? You know, you hear people go all the time, well, they just need to get saved. And if we're comparing, we're talking about growing up in this course. And if we're comparing a baby to a woman or a man, we don't say to the baby, you know, grow up. We give them time to grow up. Now, say, if the person's been in the body of Christ for several years and is still acting like a baby, then that's not good. But a carnal Christian, the Greek word for carnal is fleshy, which means they're led by everything they feel. So their feelings, they're led by their stomach, they're led by their emotions, and they're governed by their physical senses. Whereas when a grown person in spiritually grows up, when a Christian grows up, they're no longer led by that. When they are driving down the road and they see a sign for an Oreo blizzard, they don't necessarily have to pull off the road and get one. You know, they're not led by the stomach. They're led by what God wants them to do. That doesn't mean they can never have one, but they're not led by that. They're saying, okay, I can let my body have one of those right now, but not constantly being led by their physical senses. So you can be born again and walk in the ways of natural man. If you're doing that, then you're not grown up. So we see a lot of Christians in the body of Christ, too many Christians in the body of Christ, that are walking in the way of a natural man, a person that's not born again, that's led by their physical senses, and they're not grown. And the bottom line is, God wants us to grow. It's not enough if we truly love the Father. It's not enough to skid in onto the gate of heaven and get in there and, hey, I got it. I made it. We want to grow up, become an asset to the body of Christ, and be used. Amen? Isn't that our goal? That's our goal. So go to Ephesians chapter 4, which is our main scripture.
What chapter?
Ephesians chapter 4. And we're starting in 11. We'll just read a couple verses. We've been on this chapter since the beginning. We'll probably be on this topic until the end of the year. That sounds so long, but it's not really. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And his, God's, gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him." When we had children, and all of us here have had children, and we saw that baby, we had in our mind's eye, we may not have seen exactly how that child would grow up and turn, but we had an idea of what we saw as our child grew up as to what they would be and what they would look like. And God has an idea in his mind. He has a plan for each one of us, and that we're to grow up into him. That we're going to grow up into really mature manhood. There's nothing worse than being an adult parent of an adult child and finding out they did something really, really babyish that got them in trouble. You know, you expect your adult children to walk as adults, you know, and you think, and then, of course, you ask all the questions, where did I go wrong? What did I do? Well, God didn't go wrong anywhere either. People make their decisions, you know. And so we want to make him proud. We want to be complete, which is what that perfect word means, maturing, come to our full potential. So we're talking about growing up. There have been centuries of wrong thinking and wrong mentality on what this means and what this means. So we're going to give an account of what we did in the body. Not just we're going to give an account, yes, I gave my life to Jesus, but we're going to give an account of how we grew and what we did with what we know, the light that we have. So there are just a handful of people trying to do a job that's so big they can't touch it by themselves. Have you ever had that? You know, you have a job that's so big and there's only been two people assigned to it, and it's overwhelming. But God, looking down the years, gave us a job and expected each one of us to come up. Now, he knew that not all of us would, but he expects each one of us to come up to his full potential that he has for us in him. And then the job will get done. So we need to learn and know how to be led by the Spirit of God. That's a big one. How to walk in the love of God, helping people. Could we all be developed more? Of course. More mature, more developed, stronger. We're on the path trying to grow. And you should be able to look at yourself and look at yourself 2 years ago and see where you are today and see that you have grown some. Just like I said with the notches on the door, you know, in the physical, you know, you look and see as a kid, you see how much taller you've gotten. We look at, you know, 2 years ago, I would have handled that completely different. I would have gone off the deep end. And now, I didn't. You know, you should be able to see some depth to your growth. We are commanded to be as him, to pray and be led and have faith like him. That's not blasphemy. That's what he expects. You know, the Pharisees go, we're going to stone you because you say you're God. You say God's your father, and you say you are God. And they thought that was heresy. And I'm not saying I am God, but I do say he expects me to act like him. He lives inside of me. I am, if you look at a baby, a lot of times we hear people go, oh, she looks just like you, or oh, he looks just like you. Well, not really. The limbs are a lot shorter. That baby's not developed yet. But the potential's in that baby to grow up and look exactly like and be exactly like the mother or the father. So we are that person as we get born again. He is inside of us. All the potential is there, but we need to grow up in him. One of the most tormenting things in this life is the not knowing. And that's what we have to grow into too, is to be able to be confident and hear the voice of the Lord, to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, not tossed to and fro like in verse 14 it says, so then we may no longer be children, tossed like ships to and fro, between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine. Sometimes, especially if you're led by circumstances, you may see, oh, that must be God. The door's open over here. Well, not necessarily. The door may be open, and it may be a trick to lure you in there to go down the wrong path. So that's why it's most important that we learn and grow in this so that we're not duped like children. So that we are sure and knowing, and we know our Father's voice. We have some experience. I mean, all of us have had experience in doing the right thing and knowing it was the right thing and that he led you in that way. And he wants us to be like that all the time. And in verse 15, it says, rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. So can we grow up in every area, both peace and love and led by the Spirit? Of course we can. And the Bible tells us how to do it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Mostly we're going to talk about lying. Because it says, speak the truth in love so that we may grow up. So speaking the truth is the first thing. Remember, we've talked about this before, we're speaking spirits. God made us a speaking spirit. He created the world with his words. We are to speak and do boundaries of our world with our mouth. Just on the way here, my daughter called and I forget the name of it, but she used to have one when she was a kid. It starts with an M, I think. But it's a little blister, a blood blister or something on her face. When she was 5, she had it, and when it bursts, it just bleeds all over the place. I mean, just, and then it'll go away, and then it comes back, whatever. Her son had one, and she goes, "Mom, what can I do to stop the bleeding? He's been bleeding all night out of this. I don't know what to do. The doctor said he couldn't get him in." And I said, "Bring him to the phone. Put your hand on his cheek." And I said, "Now I'm going to pray, because I'm not there. You got to put your hand there." So she did, and I prayed. The thing is, we are speaking spirits. That doesn't have to stay that way. We know that God is the God that created the blood, and it can contain it and clot it so that it doesn't do that. So you speak that. The opposite of truth, because it says, "Let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly." The opposite of truth is what?
Deception,
lying. The opposite of love is what?
Hate,
or even selfishness is another word for it, because hate and selfishness go hand in hand there. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's go there. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For even to this were you called. It is inseparable from your vocation. Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example, so that you should follow in his footsteps." Christ came to earth. I growing up in a Christian home, grew up with this. Jesus died on the cross, you know, the whole Christmas story that he died on the cross. And I knew the story, but the reason behind it, I didn't get until I was a teenager. I mean, I knew all that. I knew he died on the cross for our sins, but he came to be our example so that we could follow in his footsteps. That's the part they never told me about when I was a kid, is that I could follow in his footsteps. I was told we can never attain that. He was God. But he came to earth as a man, laid down his godliness to come to show us that we could do this. He was guilty of no sin, neither was deceit or guile ever found on his lips. We are made like the Master. Like I said, we're in an immature form when we first start. So we're just not developed. In verse 22, here's an example. He was guilty of no sin, neither was deceit, guile ever found on his lips. He had no sin. He had no deceit. No one ever heard a lie from his lips. Jesus didn't have that. He just didn't. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the light. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, back over here again. We want to go to 21. Verse 21 in Ephesians 4. "Assuming you've really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self." Who's he telling to do this? He's telling us to do it, isn't he? "Strip yourselves of your former nature, put off, discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and being done now with it, Let everyone express the truth with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one body and members of one another. A mature one, a complete one, speaks the truth. Lying is a big deal. Now, we've all had children, and we probably did it ourselves. I know we did it ourselves. Lied when we were kids and even adults. And so, deception is lying as well. We tend to categorize our lies as if it's a better lie than another lie, like the little white lies. Well, God did not say a thing in here about little white lies. There's no such category. So deception's lying also, and that's allowing someone to think something that's not right, that's not correct. They may say something, you don't correct them, so they leave you with an inference that what they said was true, and in fact it wasn't. So you did not clarify that. That's deception. You may not have said a word, but you allowed them to think what was not right. And more people in the church lie than you actually realize. Sometimes they don't even wait till they get out of the church. Sometimes it's in the lobby. Sometimes it's in the parking lot. Sometimes it's in the restaurant on the way home, you know. We grow up being taught to lie. We tend to categorize lying. My daughter, when she was in high school, had this friend that lied all the time. I mean, it was like a thing with her. She just lied. I mean, she didn't even have to lie about some things, but that was her way. She would tell you a lie you could never trust anything she said. And she's a nice girl, I mean, to meet her personality-wise, but she just lies. She's a liar. And it's a big thing. Sometimes, you know, we look at the little two-year-old that it has his hand in the cookie jar, and you're saying, are you getting in my cookies? And he's got cookie crumbs on his face, and he'll go, you know, no. That's a lie. And it may be cute now, but at 16, when you say, where were you, and they lie to you, it's not cute anymore. It's a matter of heaven and hell. And so we need to nip it in the bud when we see it in our kids. Like I said, we grew up, it's a part of our culture. There's even a show on TV. I've never watched it, but it's called Pretty Little Liars. Like, it's a thing. It's acceptable. It's acceptable. It's acceptable in society to lie if you have to say something uncomfortable. If your boss gets a haircut and she says, oh, I got my haircut, and she's waiting. She's waiting for you to say something. Now, if you actually hate it, you don't say anything. You can shut your mouth and not say anything, or you can speak the truth. And so you don't, you know, we try not to hurt someone's feelings, and I'm not saying you should say, that's horrible. You should never get your hair cut like that again. It looks horrible. I'm not saying that. It says speak the truth in love. So, but what we need to do is cure ourselves of saying things just because we don't want to come across, you know, we don't want to hurt their feelings. And so we need to be that mature person that that tells truth. Basically, we believe in telling the truth, but to avoid uncomfortableness, we fudge a little bit, and that's got to go. Jesus didn't fudge. He told it like it was, but he told it in love, except with the Pharisees, but he still loved them when he said it. He told truth. He spoke truth. You know, we say, oh no, you didn't offend me. You know, the person will say, oh, I'm sorry if I offended you. I didn't mean that. Oh no, you didn't offend me. When you really were offended in there, and you're saying that to make the other, I was guilty of that, to make the other person get the pressure off and not feel bad. Oh no, 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 it's okay, because I didn't want them to feel bad. A lie is a lie. And you know, you can just sit there and be quiet and let them apologize. Sure, they may feel bad about offending you. Better not for you to lie and compound the thing, you know. So we need to make sure we're telling the truth. Because there is nothing more satanic than lying. Because who is the father of lies? Satan is. If you look, let's see, where are we here? Let's go to the next scripture, I think. Go to Proverbs 6. Yeah. So when our teenagers or our kids start lying, don't just gloss it over. Make a big deal of it, because it is a big deal, and they need to understand they are behaving like the father of lies. And so I know with our kids, we always told them, if you tell us the truth, you are going to get in trouble, but not as much trouble if you tell us a lie. If you lie to us, you're going to be in big trouble. So we tried to encourage them to tell us the truth all the time. And sometimes, honestly, I didn't want to hear it. Because I thought, oh, I'd be better off in the dark. No, you wouldn't. It's better off to know the truth. Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17. These six things the Lord hates. Indeed, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, the spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies even under oath. And he who sows discord among the brethren. We should have nothing to do with any of these things. But if you notice, he mentioned lying twice. A lying tongue and a false witness who breathes out lies even under an oath. Pride and deception go hand in hand. God hates lying. And your children should never, ever hear you lie. Everybody makes a mistake, but if you do lie in front of your children, you go to them and you say, Mommy shouldn't have said that. Instance, go to school and maybe your child, you took them on a, this happens all the time, you took them on a trip or you took them on a, you know, one day to the store, something, and you make another excuse on the thing you have to fill out to say why they were gone from school. That's lying. And your child knows you're lying. And so he sees or she sees, oh, Mom does it sometimes, must be okay. You know? And so my mother was so funny. Whenever we were out of school and she had to write in why we were out of school, it was always the same excuse. She never made a different, it's just not feeling well. That was a very broad, generic term that covered a lot of things. Now, we never were allowed to just cut school, so if we were out of school, it was because we weren't feeling well. So that just covered it. She never said she had a fever, she had chicken pox, nothing. She just said, not feeling well, and that covered the whole thing. But your children should never hear you say on the phone, tell them I'm not here. I don't want to talk to them. Well, you are here. You can't say that. You can say she can't come to or doesn't want to come to the phone right now. You don't lie. Because you do it, they see it. They see it. So even in church, we have a tendency to leave an impression of something not true. Someone comes up to you and says, hey, are you coming to the service tonight? There's a special service tonight. And the majority of people will say this, I don't know, maybe if I can, I will. When in their mind, there is no maybe. They know they're not going to come, but that puts it off so that they don't have to straight out say, no, I'm not planning on coming. Because someone may try to talk them into it, or they may think less of them, so they say that. Well, if a sign flashed over our head every time we lied, we'd find out how many people are telling untruths in church even. So the devil lies to us and tries to deceive us every day of our life. Every day he tries to lie and deceive us. We don't need it from our family and our fellow Christians. We should be truthful with one another and speak the truth in love. John chapter 8. Can you imagine if all of us spoke the truth in love all the time? No more strife. Or we shut our mouths. That if you can't speak the truth in love, then just shut your mouth. till you get to the point where you can. John 8, 31 and 32 says, "Now Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word and hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Of course, they didn't understand that whole thing. And in verse 33, they answered him, "We're Abraham's offspring and descendants. We've never been in bondage to anybody. What do you mean saying that we'll be set free?" They're looking at this not the way he's looking at it. He's seeing them in bondage to the devil. And they're seeing themselves, because they had been slaves in Egypt, they were free now in their minds. And Jesus answered them and said, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, whoever commits and practices sin is the slave of sin." And it says in verse 36, "If the Son liberates you and makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free." If we're in truth and love and we're disciples of His, we're growing up to be more like Him. So as we grow up, we become freer. So the two sides are not knowing. We have a lot of people that don't know what's going on, versus freedom and not being restricted. In verse 40, he says, "But now instead..." Well, let's go to 39. It makes more sense. "They retorted, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus said," because he told them that they were of their own father. "And they said, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus said, 'If you were truly Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham and follow his example. Do as Abraham did. But now, instead, you're wanting to and seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This is not the way Abraham acted. You are doing the works of your own father.' And they said to him, 'We are not illegitimate children and born out of fornication. We have one father, God.' And Jesus said to them, 'If God were your father, you'd love me and respect me and welcome me gladly. For I proceeded and came forth from God out of his very own presence. I did not even come on my own authority or of my own accord as self-appointed, but he sent me. Why do you misunderstand what I say? It's because you're unable to hear what I'm saying. You cannot bear to listen to my message. Your ears are shut to my teaching. You are of your father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the lusts and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar himself and the father of lies and all that is false. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me, do not trust me, do not rely on me, or adhere to me." A lot of people, when you tell them the truth, they get angry. Or they put the blame on others, or they make excuses. They don't want to hear it. And these guys did not want to hear what Jesus was saying to them. But if your heart is right, you want the truth, no matter how ugly it is. Nobody likes to see themselves in a bad light. But if we're being shown that, to clean it up, get rid of it, to see something that maybe we don't see in ourselves, and accept that and go for it, that's a grown-up. A grown-up wants to change. And if you look at verse 44, he says, "You are of your father the devil. It's your will to practice the lusts and gratify the desires that are characteristic of your father." The devil's the father of all lies. Lying is the very essence of the devil. We are to love liars, but hate lying. So if, you know, that's why I was saying my daughter's friend was a liar. And I hate to put a brand on her, but that's what she was, because she lied all the time. I love her. In fact, she has been even to this church once. But when we had Household of Faith, she would come regularly because she was my daughter's friend. But she wasn't, like, remember when we talked about people that can come to church but never grow? She didn't let it get in her and become growing up out of that lying thing. So even though she is now in her 30s, she still lies. And that should not be. God wants us to change. God wants us to grow. And so we love the liars. We hate the lying. We need to hate what God does and agree with him. God does not hate the person. He hates the sin. People lie to save their own hide. Sometimes we, if you're at work, you may lie to get out of. I remember when I was a kid, we were very afraid of my grandfather. He was a very gruff man. And I didn't quite understand it. I just thought he was always that way until I grew up and read his journal and found out that he hadn't always been that way, but the depression had really changed him. And so nobody wanted to get on the bad side of him. You did not want to get yelled at by him. I don't know that he ever actually spanked any of us, but there was a fear there of what could happen if you got in trouble. So he was a contractor, and so they had those flip-out measuring tapes, and I broke one because I was playing with it, and I bent it the wrong way, and it broke. Well, instead of going to him and telling him that, I shoved it under the couch because I was not about to go to him because I thought I'd get in trouble. So sometimes we lie, even though I didn't say anything, that very thing was a lie, because I didn't tell. I didn't tell the truth of what had happened. I let them make their own judgment call when they found it under there. I had six brothers and sisters. It could have been any of them, So I was throwing them under the bus. But I have since repented of that. And they did find out. But the thing is, sometimes we lie or don't tell a truth to save our own hide, to save ourselves or our pride. We have people look at us a certain way, and that's why I think a lot of times it's truly a thing of God when someone comes up to the altar and God's touching their heart. Somebody that may never have come up to the altar if they were in their own mind because of pride, not wanting people to see them up there, So if God's touching their heart, that's a good thing, and they can just be real. So then again, some people, like I said, lie for no reason. Just lie. So we need to repent, get it right. We don't want to be known as a liar or even lie at all. That is the father of lies thing, and we don't want to have any part with him. So we need to repent. Now, we're not talking about an honest mistake here. When my kids were little, I tried very hard to keep my word. If I told them we were going to do something, we did it. Whatever. But sometimes there were circumstances that there was just no way. I meant to keep my word when I said it, but maybe it rained and we were supposed to go, something happened and it was an honest mistake. It was an honest thing that I had meant what I said. And that I had to explain to them because they were like, well, you said, well, of course, a kid, they're thinking, we can do it. We can do it in the rain. And you have to help them to understand at the time that mom said this, that the information that I had, we could do this. I'm not trying to get out of what I said. I'm trying to keep my word. And then you do whatever it takes to keep your word as much as you can. But sometimes we're fed wrong information. Somebody else gives us wrong information. And when we say something, then we're reiterating what we have been told, and it's wrong. And so you're not, it's an honest mistake. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an untruth or a deception that you do on purpose or automatically, that kind of a thing. So let's go to Psalm 119. We want to be children of the light and of our Father who is truth. Psalm 119, verse 29. Remove from me the way of falsehood and unfaithfulness to you. He's calling out and saying, I don't want to have this in me. take it, and graciously impart your law to me. I have chosen the way of truth and faithfulness. Your ordinances have I set before me. So he's saying, I want to walk in truth. I want to have no falsehood in me whatsoever. And then turn over, still Psalm 119, verse 163. Psalm 163, or verse 163. It says, I hate and abhor falsehood, but your law, God's law, do I love. Remember, we don't hate the people. We hate the sin. And so that's what he's saying here is, I hate and I abhor falsehood, but your law I love. It takes maturity to stand up, look a person in the eye, and say to them, even if you just said it, you know, this is how you break the sin of lying, okay? If you know that you're going to have to go to somebody and tell them, I lied to you, how often do you think you're going to lie knowing you have to do that? You're not going to do it because our pride doesn't want to do that. And so if you have enough maturity on you and you're maturing and you look someone in the eye and say, I lied just now when I told you that, I lied. Now, we hear people joke about it all the time. They'll say, how many people were there? Oh, there's about 50 people there. No, I lied. There's about 75 people there. They, you know, they're kind of joking about the fact that, I missed it. It was a different number. I'm talking about sincerely going to someone and saying, you know what? What I just said to you, that was a lie. And I'm trying to break myself of any falsehood. You got to respect that. Who's not going to respect that? That you are coming to them because you do not ever want to be... Nobody's going to look down at you unless you're doing it every day. Which means you're not breaking the lying habit. You're just continuing to do it. And then they're like, you're not breaking the lying habit. You're just a glutton for punishment. But this will break the lying habit if you know you'll have to admit to and tell a person that you lied and that you're sorry and you repent. Because we just don't think it's worth it, you know, to have to do that. Like I said about, you know, not meaning to come to church. If you say, oh, I know I said I was coming to church tonight when you asked me, but I really have no intention of doing that. So to say that is an untruth, I'm sorry. You know, you catch yourself that fast. You make it right that fast. People try to impress with lying and make themselves look better. They may embellish. We know a lot of people that embellish, even in the church, the way things happened and what happened. And try to leave an impression that they're actually better off. And this happens in the church, too, that they're actually better off than they really are. Sometimes... you know, we don't like to let people know the struggles that we are having. And I'm not saying that you should just blurt out everything that's going on in your life. But if you're trying to leave an impression that things are better than they are, there's a difference between walking in faith and speaking what God says and absolute deception, you know, trying to have people think something different about you when you're actually not living the life of faith. You're actually pretty bad off. So we don't be embarrassed or ashamed. We're coming up and we're coming out of wherever we are, whatever situation we're in. We are where we are, and that's how a lot of people with credit cards get themselves in trouble. They want a certain style of living, and so they may not be making that amount of money to live like that, so they get a credit card. They may be maxed out to the hilt, but it looks like they're wealthy. But on paper, if you were to look, they aren't. And in fact, they have gotten themselves into bondage. So let's speak the truth in love and not play games. When I had gone to Oklahoma to visit my friend, she had invited me down and I was staying with them. And we had pretty much been pretty honest with each other. I mean, we were friends. We didn't hold anything back. So I got down there and I saw that there was trouble brewing in the household. And Because she had lived with me, so it's not like I didn't know how they operated, but this was different. This was, I could see there was definitely strife going on in the household. And so I got up the courage to, because she's my friend, and I was trying to speak the truth in love to her about what I was seeing, because sometimes you can't see it, or you need somebody else to help you. You know, do you understand what you're doing here? You know? And so I said something to her about how she was treating her husband, and that there was strife in the household. In this instance, normally she would have received that, and she would have gone from there and taken it. But she got angry, and I was down there living in her house, and I was like, I am like 6 hours from home. It's not like I can just jump and go. You know, she throws me out. She got angry, and then she came back at me. Have you ever had someone do that when you tell them something honestly and in love and come back at me with something trying to hurt you? And that's, you know, we have to do things the right way. I mean, we want to do things the right way, maybe, you know, wait for the Holy Spirit timing and everything. But let's not play games with one another. If we're really trying to grow, we want to mature in this, then we're out for, I mean, no one's better than the other person. If you're truly a friend, you're going to speak the truth in love. And the person that's getting it spoke to them will accept it. You know, sometimes we get angry and flare up, and then we realize there is something to that. You know, I'm going to tell a little bit on my husband there. but he was in the Navy long time ago. And we were having, you know, there back then there was not cell phones. And so we only got like a phone call a week or something like that. And living apart is never a good thing for a married couple. But I had the kids. He was, I think, in Chicago. And I don't even remember what the argument was about. But we were going back and forth. Well, we had spoken on the phone. And then he wrote me a letter in red ink to show me that he was upset. And he doesn't do that anymore. He is a very mature man of God. But he was in his 20s, you know, early 20s. And I thought, oh my goodness, he did it in red ink to get across the fact that he's a little ticked. You know, let's not play. I mean, I don't think he was playing games. I think he really wanted me to know he was upset that it was that serious. And but we do things a lot of times where we, you know, we play games. So let's speak the truth and not be a phony Christian that's a scripture quoter, but you live in a lie. You may be able to quote every scripture on healing or whatever, but you go home and you're a worrywart and you don't pray, and you know, let's do the truth. Say, I love the truth and I love the Lord. That should be our motto. That should be our creed. I love the truth and I love the Lord. And if an untruth or a deception comes out, right away, make it right. Just right away. Short accounts, just like with sin. Short accounts, because it is a sin. Pride, fear, immaturity, all those are going to keep you from making it right. So dealing with it promptly is going to break you from line. Don't be discouraged. You know, we're talking about this stuff in these classes. Don't be discouraged if you're not a full-grown Christian overnight. We did not become adults overnight. It took how many years? And some people are tall enough to be an adult, but they're not actually an adult inside. So there are still people becoming adults even now. The Bible says for us to examine ourselves and the different areas in your life. You may be growing at different rates. You may be really good in the love department. You may have grown in that you can respond in love. But you may not be so great in the fear. I don't know. You know, at different areas, different places of your life growing at different rates. Is anyone fully grown up? No. We're all on the way, though. We're on the way, and we may be at different you know, stations on the road. The important thing is that you keep moving. You keep moving. You're still constantly growing in Him, and that we are becoming skilled in the voice of the Holy Spirit. We know His voice. We listen to His voice. We look for His voice. And the way of love and speaking the truth in love. We believe in going on to perfection, not stopping and quitting when you make a mistake. Who does that? You know, my son, I used to instill in him that you're not a quitter. He would start a game, and if he was losing, he would want to quit. And I'd say, no, you started the game. You're going to finish the game. You don't want to play another game. That's fine. But you're finishing this one because you started it, and you don't quit just because you're losing. So a lot of times if we were doing a volleyball game or something else, he'd go, oh, I quit. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're finishing this game, and you're going to do your best, you know, because they need to learn that we're not quitters. We don't quit just because we made a mistake. Are there any questions about lying? Deception. Lying. I mean, I think it's pretty apparent that that is not of God. It is the father of lies, but I think we deceive ourselves when we categorize and say, you know, this is a blatant lie and this is a subtle, I'm just doing this because that way this person's feelings won't get hurt, you know. Then just don't say anything if you think you're going to hurt somebody's feelings, or unless God's prompting you to do it. Like with my friend, he prompted me to do that, and so I didn't want to do it, but I needed to do it, and I needed to do it in love. So that's different. That's different. Anybody have any prayer requests? Nope.